You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Hasn't done it already. You know, I've entitled our message this morning, "The Resurrected King is Resurrecting Me." He's brought me, my own testimony of being a drug addict, an alcoholic, destined for hell, and now I'm a pastor. I was an atheist, hardcore atheist, and now I'm a believer, hardcore believer. Let's pray before we open the word. Father, we thank you once again. What amazing testimonies. What a beautiful song by the children's church. What an awesome play by the youth. And Father, now we just want to open your word and draw from it for our lives. And Father, we want to praise you for who you are. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first verse is going to be Matthew 20, verse 17 through 19. Now, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Resurrection is God's amen to Jesus' loud cry, "It is finished." When Jesus said it was finished, the fact that he was then raised from the dead is our guarantee as a believer that God will reconcile us to righteousness and that we too shall be resurrected. Now, one of the things is if we're a skeptic is to go, well, Jesus' body couldn't be found. So let's try and come up with some kind of rational explanation in order to diminish the power of the resurrection. Well, one of the possibilities that people often say is, well, hey, you know, his enemies stole the body. Well, if they had stolen the body, once they realized that the followers were being successful at spreading the Christian faith, then in the very city, by the way, that he was crucified in, his enemies would have produced the bodies in order to stop them. But of course, they could not produce the body because Jesus Christ was resurrected. The other thought that skeptics have is that his friends stole the body. Well, this was a rumor. This is a rumor that's gone around. But is it probable? First of all, they would have to overcome the guards. And these were men that were afraid, remember? They ran for their life, let alone be braved. And if they could have overcome the guards, they could not have rolled away the stone. It was massive. Not only that, had they stolen the body, they would not have been able to preach with such authority, and they wouldn't have risked their lives and accepted the beatings, even the death that many of them suffered. In fact, they would have come out and said, no, we just took the body, it's not true. They wouldn't go, no, go ahead and kill me. He is risen and I will be risen as well. Another concept is that perhaps Jesus Christ wasn't really dead. They call this the swoon theory, that he woke up, removed the stone, overcame the soldiers, and then he vanished. Yeah, right. Listen, he had been pierced in his side. That is recorded history, even amongst non-believers. The Romans kept very good historical records. Jesus Christ was dead upon the cross. Had his hands been pierced and been beaten, there's no way he could have just walked out of the tomb, let alone roll away the stone or overtake the guards. And then, of course, once again, to have his disciples then change from cowards into some of the bravest preachers of the good news. Jesus Christ is risen, folks. Whether you want to accept it or not, He has risen. And the saddest thing would be for us to come here today to find out that he has risen and then to walk away. How about this? The Jewish people have always had their Sabbath on Saturday. But once Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead, we see in the New Testament that they moved their holy day to Sunday because it was the day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And they said, this is the Lord's day. For them to give up their ancient, sacred part of their culture and their religion meant a lot. Listen, people, you know this. People are really adverse to change. We have a difficult time with change. So the fact that so many thousands of these first century Jews went from worshiping God from Saturday to Sunday because Jesus Christ was truly risen. He's a risen Lord. And now that resurrected King wants to resurrect you to new life. Now, there's an important question in Scripture. It's a profound question. It's profound, but if we just read over it at a glance, we could miss it. In John 18, 38, it says this. It says, Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And then, and when he had said this, he went out again. He went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in this man." He might as well have said, "I find no fault in this lamb," because he'd be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But basically, Pilate says, "What is truth?" Because Jesus Christ has been saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And here he had truth standing right in front of him, and he could not see the truth. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you. When I was an atheist, people would come and share Christ with me, and I couldn't see the truth for all of my sin. It was sin that blinded me from the truth of Jesus Christ. It was my pride that blinded me. Listen, don't kid yourself. If you're an atheist here today, you can't say, "I have proof." You have nothing. And I challenge you. I challenge any atheist here today to come and talk to me. You know what's funny? Atheists don't come to talk to me. Why? What are you afraid of? The truth? Listen, I've set my life to look at every atheist objection you could come up with and find an answer in God. And you know what? I've yet to be stumped. I would love, if you think that you have a question that God's word can't answer, come to me. But you know what? Atheists don't come to the pastor. They'll go to someone who doesn't know their Bible. I dare you. Here, look. Put a... Listen, I don't have wisdom. I have the word of God, and the word of God is wisdom. You cannot win against God's word. You can't. Now, we need to understand, as Pilate said, what is truth? We need to understand. We need to acknowledge that the resurrection has placed a glorious crown upon Christ's suffering. You know, we think of the cross as being a horrible thing, a devastating thing, and it was for the moment. You know, I like the song that was played for the cardboard testimony. A cross that was meant for death is my victory. It's Christ's victory. I love what C.H. Spurgeon says. He says this, "Upon life I did not live. Upon death I do not die. I risk my whole eternity on the resurrection." Why? Because it changes everything. We realize that this life isn't all there is. Do you realize this? How about this? If there was no resurrection, baptism would look a whole lot different. Why? We'd take you and we'd say, "We bury you with Christ. I can't bring you up. Sorry." I guess the bubbles are from the Holy Spirit. It's that cleansing agent. Listen, Jesus Christ is resurrected. That's why we take you down and we bring you up. He didn't stay in the grave. No other religion stands and falls with the claim about the resurrection and its founder the way that Christianity does. Only Christianity has a Lord that actually lived and sympathized and empathizes with us, then was took our place, took our stead, took our punishment, died, and then was resurrected in order to show that the grave is defeated. Only Christianity. Buddha's not alive. A Buddhist will tell you that. In fact, in the Buddhist temple, it says, Buddha can't save you. Then why would you be there? It says it in the Buddhist temple. I don't know if you've ever been to one. I went to one. I was sitting in their air conditioner. Whole nother story. Muhammad, Confucius, Zoroaster, on and on and on. Only Jesus Christ is alive and in love with you. Christianity begins where, listen, Christianity begins where all other religions end. All other religions end with death. Christianity starts with death. That's our reward, folks. That's when real life begins. Because after I pass from this life is when I really live, because I will never die again. I can't wait. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Now listen to this. I love this. Over in Acts, Peter said this. Acts chapter 3. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Now, let me read that slower. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. You killed the author of life. The author of life. Jesus is Creator God. That's what they're saying. But this is a two-sided coin. Here's what I mean. Yes, man did kill Jesus. They flogged him. They pierced him. They hung him. He died at the hands of men. But he gave up his life willfully. He tells us that. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So Peter in Acts 3 says, hey, God raised him, but Jesus says, I raise myself. Why? Because Jesus is God. He's the author. Now think about this. If Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is, if Jesus Christ is God, and he is, then the cords that bound him, he made. The nails that had held him, he was holding every molecule of the nail. He could have released and the nails would have just melted into nothing. He held himself to the cross. The tree, the cross that was formed was a tree that was formed by his very hands. So he gave his life. He held himself to the cross because he is in love with you and I. Yet Jesus was a man. Pilate said this. He says, Ecce homo. In other words, behold the man. Because he was 100% man. But understand this. You may live as a conqueror. You may live as a king or a magistrate. You may live as royalty. But every man and woman must die as a human. Jesus Christ, as a physical man, had death. But as glorious God, is resurrected and is the firstborn over all creation, and we shall follow suit. How do you like that? In John chapter 12, verse 23 and 25, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, verily, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." In other words, Jesus said this. He had to die like a seed. You drop a seed, it dies in order to become a tree that bears much fruit. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross. Over in the Old Testament, it refers to the Messiah as a worm. And the word for worm is tolof. Now, the tolof worm is very unique, as the tolof worm will do this. When the tolof worm is ready to give birth, it will climb a tree, and then it will cocoon itself in a red crimson cocoon. And then when it gives birth, it explodes and red blood flies everywhere and the babies come out of that. This worm will do that on purpose and hang from a tree. But then you go back 3 days later and all that red has now dried and it becomes white, flaky. Jesus Christ's blood can make us whiter than snow. He purposefully hung on a tree in order to give us new life. So important. So important. Life and death isn't all that we think it is. So often we're wrapped up in life and death. We had an awesome member of our church just pass away not too long ago. I don't know if you knew Dave and Kay, but Dave passed away. And I'll tell you, when you see an on fire Christian pass away, it's one of the most beautiful things. He was glowing with Christ. It was just awesome. His bride just praising God the whole way. Because there's something different. But when there is no Christ, listen, you have no hope. You have nothing. If this life is all there is, wow, how sad. I read this one quote. You may have heard it before. This person said this: when I die, I want to go out peacefully like my grandfather did in his sleep, not screaming like the passengers in the back seat of his car. Listen, it's not how we die. It's how we live. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live. Listen, let the resurrected King resurrect you. The cross of love ran red for your sake to wash you clean. Now, do you realize this? You know when Jesus stood before Pilate, do you realize he didn't say a word? Against all of the accusations, all the claims they made about Jesus, he never said a word. You want to know why? Because if he were to confess, he would have to confess my sin and your sin. And he wasn't about to turn us over. He was going to the cross for us. The only thing that needed to be confessed were the things that you and I do. That is why he remained silent. I like the song, once again, that they use for the cardboard testimony. I love what David Crowder wrote. He says this: you came for criminals and every Pharisee. You came for hypocrites, even one like me. You carried sin and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done nailed in your hands. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood that in crimson streams. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. The cross meant to kill, it's my victory. I love that. Listen, isn't this life hard at times? It is hard. It is hard. And we often, you know, people come to me and they'll say, Pastor Randy, I'm just blue. I'm just down. And I thought about that. You know, when people say that, they're blue. You know, you can't sing the blues unless you've lived the blues. You know, like for instance, you can't start off a blues song with I Got a Woman. That's kind of good. That's a good thing to have a woman. But if you want to make it a blues song, you have to add a second line. I got a woman with the meanest face in town. Now you can. See, the blues is simple. To have the blues, you just have to be downtrodden. Listen, if you really want to make a good blues song, you do this. I got a woman, meanest face in town. Yes, I got a woman, meet his face in town, teeth like Margaret Thatcher, and she weighs 900 pounds. And not only that, think about this. If you're going to sing about the blues, there are certain ways to travel that you cannot sing about the blues. Listen, if you drive a Chevy, a Ford, a Cadillac, or a broken down truck, you can sing the blues. But if you got a Volvo, a BMW, or a sport utility, you can't sing the blues. Listen, if you travel on the Greyhound or the southbound train, you can sing the blues, but you can't have a jet aircraft or accompanying motor pool and sing about the blues. Listen, walking plays an important part to singing the blues, and so does fixing to die. Do you realize Jesus walked a lot, and everywhere he went, he told people, I'm fixing to die. But he rejoiced. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And listen, if you're a man, with a mustache or a beard that's out of control, you can't sing the blues. But if you're a woman, sing the blues. If you got a broken leg and you got it from skiing, you can't sing the blues. But if you got a broken leg from an alligator chomping on it, sing the blues. There are certain beverages. Did you realize? Did you realize there are certain beverages you can't drink? You can't drink milk and sing the blues. You can't drink Perrier, Chardonnay, Slim Fast, and you, listen, don't even try to sing the blues if you're drinking Snapple. It's just not bluesy. It's not bluesy. And one more thing. How dare you say you have a tragic life if you even own a computer? You can't sing the blues. You can't email it. Listen, we cannot sing the blues if you can say, I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. If you've been saved by an amazing grace, you cannot sing the blues. I like this. I like what Charles Swindoll said about the blues. He said this: the devil's darkness, death may swagger and boast, the pangs of life will sting for a little while. But don't worry, the forces of evil are breathing their last. Do not worry, he is risen. Let me tell you, the devil can sing the blues because his days are numbered. But here's the question. Are you saved today? Do you have that assurance of salvation? Or how about this? Do you have friends or family members who do not know the Lord? You know, I read this poem every now and then because it's a good reminder. It's a fictitious poem, but it's written from the perspective of someone who is in hell. Listen to this. My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're the blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day, and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but you never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together on earth, you never told me of second birth. Now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend. I trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this faith. We walked by day and talked by night, yet you showed me not the light. You let me live, love, and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life. I trusted you through joy and strife. Yet on coming to this end, I do not call you my friend. Folks, if the tomb were still full, then our hearts would be empty. But because the tomb is empty, our hearts can be full. And if your heart is full, why wouldn't you want to share that with the lost, those you love? Why do we hold that in as our own precious prize when it's a gift to be given? It's the gift that can be given year-round, all the time. And it never is lame or stale. The person who receives Christ is the most gracious, the most excited, the most thrilled person on the earth. When they realize that they now have salvation, it changes the whole thing. Now, if your heart is full, we can now, with boldness, we can proclaim 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where's your victory? Sting and death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no more death. There is no more sting. There's just a pass from this stale life onto glory. How can you miss that? So I want to ask you this morning, do you know that you have salvation with the Lord? Because if you don't know that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward and we're going to pray for you. If you've been walking away from God, if you haven't been walking in the direction of God, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and ask Christ into your life. This is a moment, folks, as we get prepared, as we prepare right now to end this service, I don't want you to close your heart. I don't want people to start moving around, getting ready to leave. I want this to be a holy moment. Can we have the worship team? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, Lord, I just ask you right now, in this solemn moment, Lord, at this time when we're all thinking about the fact that you are resurrected, we're all thinking about the fact that we live very hard lives, when we're all thinking about the fact that this life isn't all there is, there's so much more, and when we think about the fact that our lives have sin that needs to be forgiven. Father, I want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you move in the hearts of men and women today, and that anyone who has never accepted you would come forward. I pray that anyone who needs to recommit would come forward. I pray, Father God, that there wouldn't be a person in here that isn't seeking more of you. And so, Lord, we're going to sing a little bit of a song to you, Lord. We're going to pour out our hearts, and I want you, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to move upon the hearts of your people here. Move upon the hearts. And if there's someone who needs to come forward, that they would not. I pray that nobody move, nobody leave, nobody, that everyone recognize that this is a holy moment. Let's all stand. Let's sing some of this song. And if you need to come forward and accept Christ in your life, would you please come forward, stand right here, and we'll pray for you. Is there anyone else? Listen, don't worry about the person to the right or to the left. Today is a day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't, you don't. But here's what we do know. Jesus Christ loves you. Today is a great day for you to surrender your heart. Today is a new beginning. Yeah, praise the Lord. Look at that. We got more people come forward. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, the Bible says that when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. From one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. This is a time for rejoicing. Listen, don't leave here without surrendering your heart. So we're going to sing a little bit more. You come down. You come forward. We'll pray with you. Sing a little more. Oh, it's so beautiful to see broken hearts coming before the Lord, just wanting that assurance, wanting to know that all our sins are cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone else? Maybe you're feeling that tug and you're fighting it. I remember I fought it. Listen, I've never had anyone ever come to me and say, I regret going forward. I regret. No. I hear people say, I wish I would have done it sooner. Today is a day of salvation. Anyone else want to come forward? Take this moment. Don't miss this opportunity. Anyone else? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at this. A whole family. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyone else? Anyone else wanting to come forward? Wanting the Lord? Look, we got some more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Broken before you, Lord. Needing. Praise God. How beautiful. How beautiful, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. So here's what we're going to do. Awesome. We got more. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Awesome. Lord, you are so good. Salvation is a beautiful thing, Lord. So right now, Lord, I just pray for those who have come forward. Here's what I want you to know. We're going to pray a prayer. I want you to know that the prayer doesn't save you, but a genuine heart surrender to Jesus Christ, that's what saves you. Trusting in the cross and the cross alone, that's what's going to save you. And so, church, I think it's always good for us to recommit and pray this prayer. So let's all pray this prayer with everyone who's up here in the front. Father God, I confess I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You are my Savior. You are my King. You are resurrected. Help me live for you. Help me turn away from sin and to bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo!